Tonight's message is probably going to be a little uncomfortable for the soul. The mind, will, and emotions may have a small problem. But it is God's Word. And I'm asking Him to release through me His instructions so that it'll make sense to you. And so by His grace, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to use my mouth, my voice, adjust what you need to adjust, Lord, so that your will have full sway and your word will infiltrate. Yes, Lord, infiltrate way down deep to break the shackles that I see in myself first. So this is a word for me, and it's a word for all. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 20. How many felt the anointing when they stepped on the... The entrance to the inner parts of God. Without His blood, we're not going to make it. And that's what I saw. I saw an entrance to the altar covered by His blood. And I laid out the first one, and I knew I was supposed to do the second one, but I just didn't know when. So I just obeyed as best I could. And I'm blessed that some of you received what He wanted. In chapter 20 of Exodus, we see the list of the Ten Commandments, and the verse 4. It says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God. I am jealous. I am a jealous God. And I punish the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." I want you to make sure that you put a little circle around those who hate me. Even though we're not going to go into the curses tonight, we are going to look at the very first part of that verse. It says, "You shall not make for yourself." Is that what it says in your Bible? What does the Amplified say? Peggy?
"You shall not make yourself any graven image to worship."
Good. "You shall not make." Who are you making these idols for?
Self.
And the Lord was pressing me to look at the self-worship that is ongoing even in the body of Christ and even in my own house. And I'm not talking about my family house. I'm talking about this house. I'm talking about the comfort zones that I look for self to be satisfied. What I will do to make things happen so that self gets a break. Did I hear an ouch?
Yeah.
That's the truth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's an ouch. I didn't say it was going to be easy, did I?
No.
I said it was going to be difficult. But you see, we don't look at self as an idol. We look at the created items as the idol. But what is the idol made for? To satisfy self. Oh, man. That was a hard pill to swallow. I had to take several gulps to get it down. Now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16. So let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Now, you know, we know about Jesus being selfless. He wasn't focused on satisfying himself. You've heard me speak, John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus did not do anything to please himself. Do I find myself doing things to please myself? Here, verse 24 says, then Jesus said to them, his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now that's another ouch. What is your cross? It just might go to prove that you have a cross that 5:30, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Getting out of bed and doing something that you don't feel like doing for somebody that's been mischievous all day, the day before, and you just like to kind of fix them up and patch them back up and get them out of the house as quickly as possible. Is that the kind of way that pick up my cross? Is it the kind of way that I need to shove myself out of the house so that I can recover and maybe on my drive time have a little peace? You know, I went to work and I still go to work. But you see, my selfish way would be to have some quiet time, to have this particular need satisfied, to have that particular need satisfied. So I have to lay down what I need to lay down, and each one of us has the same responsibility. And to what? Deny self. See, the hymn there is not just for guys, it's for girls too. Okay? For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What an awesome reality. That if I begin to relax and let God take over my life, as I release myself and do the things that I don't enjoy doing, and I sacrifice that time to Him, He will what? Take up the slack? And begin to change the circumstances around me. Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. Now this one might be a little ouch too, so I'm warning you. In case you forgot, I had to swallow these gospels last night. And I swallowed them again today. So this is my second dose. And my third dose. Okay? So I'm starting to get a little easier on it. So I know this is your first gospel of this type right now. So it might be a little rough. So I'm asking God for more grace. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Okay? Numbers chapter 15. Verse 39. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourself. Huh. Double ouch. Now this is the tassels on the garment, which is the prayer shawl. Verse 37, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come. Does that leave you out or in? Are you in the generations that follow him?
Yes.
Well, then you're in. It includes me and includes you. You are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at. So you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourself by going after lusts of your own heart and eyes. Double ouch. Going after the lust of your heart and the lust of your eyes. What are the entrance? The ears and the eyes are the entrance that you and I are being bombarded by every day. Our hearing, our sight, and the enemy knows exactly how to cunningly come to us. And he says, just once. It's not going to hurt. You'll have a little bit of peace. You'll feel better. Amen? So, the prostitution that goes on is me and you bowing to this stuff. And we do it sometimes out of habit, out of selfishness, out of desires to satisfy for a moment. Are there any amens there? Thank you. And we all like to be entertained. Amen? Now we're going to go to chapter 16, and we're going to take a look at a little bit of what happens when people decide that leadership is out of order. Okay? I've been there. There are two responses that are available, and we'll watch them. So we'll go quickly. Chapter 16, verse 1. Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Pele, became insolent and rose up against Moses, and with them were 250 Israelites, men, well-known community leftovers. Oh, it says leaders in your Bible? Okay. I stand corrected. Who has been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron. So why are they going as a group?
Power.
Two in agreement. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. So now the enemy's upset with the leadership. And he's using some fancy leaders. Okay? And said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy. Every one of them. And the Lord is with them." So what are they talking about? They're talking about themselves. We are holy. Amen? "Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" So talk about an accusation. "And when Moses heard this, he fell face down. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, 'In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy. And he will have that person come near him, and the man he chooses he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers tomorrow, put fire and incense in them before the Lord, and the man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far.' Moses also said to Korah, 'Now listen, you Levites, isn't it enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelite community and brought you near himself to do the works of the Lord, the Lord's tabernacle, and to stand before the community and minister to them? He has brought you of all your fellow Levites near himself, but now,'" put a little circle about now, You are trying to get the priesthood too. It is against the Lord that you and all your followers have banded together. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him? Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab. But they said, "We will not come." What have they got? A little bit of an attitude? "Isn't it enough that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the desert?" Now, isn't that odd that they would call Egypt the land of milk and honey? I mean, it's just the opposite. Correct? "And now you also want the Lord to lord it over us." So what are they? Angry. They don't like to receive instruction through these men. "Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you gouge out the eyes of these men? No, we will not come." Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not accept their offerings. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, nor have I wronged any of them." Moses said to Korah, "You and all your followers are to appear before the Lord tomorrow, you and they and Aaron. Each man is to take his censer and put incense in it, 250 censers in all, and present it before the Lord. You and Aaron are to present your censers also." So each man took his censers, put fire and incense in it, and stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance to the tent of meetings. And when Korah had gathered all his followers in opposition to them, at the entrance to the tent of meeting, the glory of the Lord appeared to the entire assembly. Was anybody left out?
No.
Were they all taking a good look? Did they need to see? Yes. "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Separate yourself from this assembly, so I can put an end to them at once.' But Moses and Aaron fell face down and cried out." I have a question. I saw four people on the floor. Were you crying out? How? Was there a cry in your spirit? Were you worshiping in the spirit? Were you releasing your spirit? I need to know.
Yes.
Okay. Everything is established in four. No, 2, 3, and 4 is a great number. How many were with them but not laying down? How many had a press to come and didn't make it? Thank you. I want you to realize something. There are times that I'm on the ground before I get here. There are many times that I might join somebody else and I'm with them in the spirit. Unity. Unity and harmony of God is what He wants. Yes, some are able to maybe get down there quicker, and that's perfectly okay. But my commitment to you is to see how this word fit in tonight. I didn't know what God was going to do tonight. I knew this word was coming, but I didn't know what He was going to do to confirm it. I'm just blessed that He did. Okay? "But Moses and Aaron fell face down and cried out, 'O God, God of the spirits of all mankind, will you be angry with the entire assembly when only one man sins?' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.' And Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He warned the assembly, 'Move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of all their sins.' So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram had come out of where and were stand. Sorry, had come out and were standing with their wives, children, and little ones at the entrance to their tents. Then Moses said, "This is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things and that it was not my idea." What a confession from a leader. He was obeying the Most High God, and now he's being blamed for everything that went wrong. Did you ever take the brunt of someone else's wrath, and all you had done was obey? If you've lived in that space, would you put your hand up? Thank you. Now, you can relate to the man and the woman of God that obeys the Holy Ghost and gets blamed because it happened to Moses, to give you an example. It happened to Jesus because they crucified him. But I'm giving you another person to look at. Amen?
Amen.
All right. It was not my idea. If these men die a natural death and experience only what usually happens to men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the grave, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. Were they really treating the Lord with contempt, or were they treating the leaders with contempt? Same thing, they were both. Because you see, the Lord was with the leaders. No different than today. When the Lord is with you, he says, "I am in you, I am with you," and you get some opposition, welcome to the club. As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them, with their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. And they went down alive into the grave with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, "The earth is going to swallow us too." And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to take the censers out of the smoldering remains and scatter the coals some distance away, for the censers are holy. The censers of the men who sinned at the cost of their lives. Hammer the censers into sheets to overlay the altar, for they were presented before the Lord and have become holy. Let them be a sign to the Israelites." So every time they would look at the altar, they would have a signal not to complain or find fault. So Eleazar the priest collected the bronze censers, brought by those who had burned up, and he had them hammered out to overlay the altar, as the Lord directed him through Moses. This was to remind the Israelites that no one exempts a descendant of Aaron should come to burn incense before the Lord, as he would become like Korah and his followers. And the next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So guess what? It was a... what? What was the problem? Was it the people alone? Was the same spirits that were in these men now hitting the neighborhood? Yeah. "You have killed the Lord's people," they said. So what are they? Feeling sorry for the ones that are in the ground. They don't understand. It's an infectious disease. It's very what? Contagious. "But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned towards the tent of meeting, suddenly a cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meetings, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Get away from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once.' And they fell face down. Then Moses said to Aaron, Take your censer and put incense in it, along with fire, from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Now do you get a clue about the priesthood? It's not your friends that you're going to actually offer incense for, which is prayers before God. It's sometimes your enemies, the very ones who can't stand you. Those are the ones that you're going to develop your priesthood in. Make atonement for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord. The plague has started. So Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly, and the plague had already started among the people. But Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. And he stood between the living and the dead. And the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died from the plague, in addition to those who had died because of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance to the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped. Are there plagues today? Are there sicknesses and diseases mentally and physically? Has the need for prayer ceased? Is there still some selfishness operating in me and you that causes me to say, let them be, let them die? Sometimes that rises up, doesn't it? But you can make a choice to lay it down and begin to intercede for them. For they know not what they have no concept of what they've done. And if you and I intercede for them, the Holy Spirit will begin a work of deeper healing in you. That's how it works. Carry your brother's burden. Carry your sister's insults. Bring them to the altar. And don't stop. What is your priesthood? Your priesthood is to take up your cross. Lord Jesus, what would you want me to do with the insults I just got? Would you please show me how to go forward? Would you show me how to be obedient like Moses and Aaron? Lord Jesus, don't let me retaliate. Even if my soul wants to punch them out and knock their lights out. Even temporarily.